Hi there, folks, and welcome to the Minute to Midnight show. My name is Tony, coming to you from New Zealand. I have Alex Newman on the show with me today. Just before I bring Alex on, I just want to say to people, and maybe that Google and YouTube will see this. Once again, YouTube has removed my ability to monitor my likes versus dislikes and disabled my on my control panel, disabled the columns button. So if the YouTube AI is seeing this, I'm gonna mention this online so people know the kind of things that happen when they don't like things you do. They do this sort of thing. So I would really like that restored, please, Google AI or YouTube AI. And having said that, Alex, it is good to have you back on the show. It's been a while since you've been on with me.
It's wonderful to be here. Thanks very much for having me, Tony.
And we talked just briefly about a few subjects that we could cover. And one thing that I've been noticing is, for example, here in New Zealand, that we had a few days ago, like Christchurch had its warmest June day ever, supposedly, and because it's winter here. And various things like that, and then in Europe they're talking about these are the hottest days, you know, record temperatures and things in France and Europe. But what I'm noticing is in all of these cases they're going since records began in 1941 or something, and I'm thinking, hold on a minute, they've had records going way back into the 1800s. And early 1900s, why are they suddenly going, since records began in the 1940s or whatever, and they're conveniently forgetting the 1930s, which had extremes of heat and cold and things like that, but it doesn't perhaps suit their narrative. So I'd like to get your thoughts on that, Alex, and where is this whole climate sort of conspiracy thing going?
Well, thanks again for having me, Tony. And the whole warmest on record, we hear that same nonsense every single year, and it's almost always fraudulent. As you pointed out, they conveniently exclude the temperature records that don't fit the narrative. They do a lot of adjustment of the temperature records to try to make it fit the narrative. There have been multiple peer-reviewed papers, including by incredible scientists who I have interviewed about these issues, showing that to the extent that there is a little bit of warming, that there has been a little bit of warming in recent decades, it's perfectly within the realms of natural variability. And it is more than explained by, first of all, what's called the urban heat island effect. A lot of these temperature stations, they were put there, you know, 1930, 1940, 1950, and it was a field. It was a pasture. Now there's a parking lot that grew up around it. There's an AC blowing hot air on it. And they say, whoa, look how warm it's getting. No, there's a parking lot there. That's why it's getting warm. And there's a lot of data on this. The UN knows all about this. In fact, the UN's own leading scientists on their UN IPCC have actually cited some of these studies talking about these issues. So they're very familiar with it. Dr. Willie Soon et al. Did some really good studies a few years ago that I wrote about extensively in the New American and the Epoch Times and other publications, where they showed that whatever warming is not explained by the urban heat island effect can more than be explained by variances in NASA's own records when it comes to what's called total solar irradiance. That's how much energy is coming from the sun and hitting the planet. So if you take NASA's own data and you superimpose it over the temperature records, you can explain pretty much 100% of the warming that was not explained by the urban heat island effect. So they're making stuff up. They're propagandizing us. Because they know none of us actually have, you know, individual temperature records going back to the 1850s, much less 6,000 years ago, to figure out whether it's really warmer. As you pointed out, here in the United States in the 1930s, we had massive heat waves that were orders of magnitude hotter than we're dealing with today. And the government knows that very well. They've known that for a long time. In fact, their own data shows it clearly. So what's going on here is not just an innocent misinterpretation or misunderstanding of the data. It's deliberate fraud. This is an effort to deceive humanity into believing that we're dealing with some kind of man-made climate change emergency, and that tyranny, global taxes, global government, global religion, global technocracy are going to be the solution to that. It's a lie. But they're using this, you and I talked a little bit before we started, Tony, to continue expanding the climate regime. Just last year, you and I spoke about this a little bit, the International Court of Justice ruled that all governments everywhere have a duty, an obligation under international law to combat climate change, that if they fail to do so, it's an intentionally wrongful act. They also found that you have a human right to a good environment, which means if your government is not restricting economic activity, restricting human activity under the guise of stopping CO2 emissions, then that government is violating the human rights of, and they said this in the recent UN General Assembly resolution, peoples, right? So now we have collective human rights. It's not violating the human rights of an individual. It's violating the human rights of peoples, according to this text. And so big development. And then I'll kick it back to you, Tony. Just a few weeks ago, the UN General Assembly voted overwhelmingly, 141-8, to operationalize this crazy ruling from the International Court of Justice. They directed the Secretary General of the UN to start advancing compliance with this outrageous decree from the International Kangaroo Court. And they are dead serious about moving this forward, even though a lot of people in America now are celebrating the supposed death of the man-made global warming hypothesis.
Yeah, well, another thing, of course, is back in the old days when they were recording temperatures, they used glass thermometers with mercury in them, which are much slower to respond than the digital sensors they use now. So, you know, a peak, a quick peak in temperature is going to register on the digital thermometer, which wouldn't have registered on an old mercury thermometer. And also they put the thermometers in the old days in a big container, like huge, and so they were out of the sun and out of the heat, like you say, and now they put them in small things and tarmac on airfields and different things like that. So of course it's going to be different, and it all fits the narrative to, you know, bring this so-called global warming, which yes, it is warmer at the moment, I will admit that, and things, but saying that it's all man-made is another kind of step again. And then they totally ignore the fact that they have airplanes flying around and, you know, potentially chemtrails and various other ways of manipulating the climate and all that too. So there's a lot. And but what really bothers me with this, Alex, is going along with what you're saying with these UN moves, is the moving obviously to try and push us into CBDCs and those types of things where they can programmably control everything and monitor everyone and with these data centers and stuff so that they can tie it all in together and then use them as social credit scores against individuals, against countries and, I mean, not companies and things like that. So I see it all as kind of not by coincidence.
No, it's all related. And, you know, we as Christians know that there will eventually be some global warming. Second Peter tells us that the day of the Lord will come like a thief and the heavens will pass away with a roar. The heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved. It's going to have nothing to do with your automobile or the gas you exhale. Trust me, right? This has much more to do with God and his sovereignty deciding to take these actions. So, you know, I'm not concerned at all about global warming. I am certainly concerned about this massive fraud that's being used to unite all the religions of the world together with a redefinition of sin, right? Your new sin is your carbon footprint, to justify this global tyranny, to justify these global taxes. And they're moving on this very quickly. It's just, it's not being reported in the United States because they know Americans don't believe them. Last year, they also agreed over at the International Maritime Organization of the first ever global taxes. These global taxes are going to be imposed on shipping companies for their CO2 emissions as their ships are traveling the oceans. Now, I think they're going to push pause on them while Trump is in office because he has said that we're not going to participate and we're going to sanction anybody that tries to make our shipping companies pay these things. But the reality is they're moving forward on this. Yes, they've put a little bit of a damper on some of it because they want to build the data centers, and they know these data centers are going to consume enormous amounts of energy. I think enslaving people with AI and data centers is a higher priority right now than the promoting the climate hoax, but both of these are running in parallel. They're both continuing to move forward, and we ought to be paying attention to these. They're coming at us very quickly, even though people think that the global warming narrative, at least in the United States, is finally dead. It is absolutely not.
Well, they're obviously pushing it in Europe at the moment, you know, because of the heat wave there. And then so that news flows on. I know Americans don't tend to, by and large, watch the news, what's happening in other countries. But here we get it, you know, see European news and all of that as well. So they're definitely pushing that narrative at the moment. In the last few days here and articles and things where it's kind of been a bit silent for a while, it's like suddenly being pushed here again. But I do think, yes, it's all tied in with these data centers and the surveillance. And you, like you say, they're moving these things in parallel, and they just have one thing in the forefront for a while, and then other things go on in the background, and people don't see it necessarily because the news is biased anyway, one way or another, and they just feed you the stories they want you to hear at any given time.
That's right. Yep, lies and half-truths and omissions. And, you know, in court here in the United States, when you go to court, you have to swear you're going to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And so even when they're not directly lying to you, they're not telling you the whole truth, which means they're lying to you, right? They're not telling you the things that you actually need to know. They're giving you half-truths, partial truths, or just not talking about things that they need to be talking about. And, you know, to the credit of the American people, Americans have really started catching on to this. They just released a poll by a very left-wing polling organization, Pew Research, and even they found that most Americans do not believe human activities are causing man-made global warming. And I mean, that's a devastating blow to them. They've been pushing this hoax for decades. They've been brainwashing children in the government schools for decades, and still most Americans have the sense to know that this is phony. So it's encouraging to see that people are resisting some of these lies, some of these narratives. But they are absolutely still pushing it, especially in the schools. And, you know, I do follow European news and international news closely. I know they're still pushing this hoax around the world. And it's not going away. I mean, this is one of the most important justifications for almost all of this globalism, all of this tyranny that they're bringing in. It's the rationale for global taxes. It's the rationale for restructuring economies around the world. It's the rationale for handing more political control to the United Nations. It's the rationale for the International Court of Justice to issue what has widely been described as the most consequential ruling in the history of the world, this one about climate change. So all of these things revolve around the global warming hoax. And the bringing together of all the religions together, we've talked about this a little bit on your program, Tony. I have had a front row seat to this over a period of years now. You know, they are telling you what they're doing. The UN and friends, they unveiled the new Ten Commandments at the UN conference in Egypt. So I'll be going to Turkey later this year to cover the UN climate summit there. And I guarantee you there will be more of this. We saw it in Brazil, this effort to, I was there back in November of last year for the climate summit. Almost every big event was starting with a prayer to the forest gods and the river deities. And where we're watching this effort to repaganize the world, bring all the religions of the world together under the banner of saving Mother Earth. Your sin is not your hatred, your idolatry, your murders, your lies, your adulteries. Your sin is your carbon footprint, but you can buy indulgences. You can pay Al Gore's credit companies, whatever, carbon credit, scam artist money, and then you can be absolved of your sins. And maybe if you work really, really hard, get yourself into climate purgatory. But if you don't, as the Secretary General said, as Joe Biden said, we're on the highway to climate hell. So hand over your money, hand over your freedom, hand over your national sovereignty, and the UN will protect you.
And of course, at the same time as they're doing this, they're making it harder for farmers in all sorts of different ways as well, so they can push us into their fake meat and all of those types of things, the Bill Gates-driven agendas.
And the energy scarcity agenda is still on the menu. Again, even in the United States, where they're not pushing the climate hoax so openly in the fake media, again, because they know that Americans are going to get mad and they're going to call their congressman and they're going to say, stop with the global warming nonsense. We now are dealing with, of course, the closure of the Strait of Hormuz, which took 20-25% of global energy supplies offline. We're not out of the woods on that yet, even though the war is allegedly somewhere close to possibly ending. We'll see. But even if that oil were to come back online tomorrow, which it won't, they've got to repair all the infrastructure that was bombed out during the war. It's going to be a long time before energy markets stabilize again. And we are headed, I think, for some dramatic increases in prices when it comes to oil, when it comes to gasoline, when it comes to petroleum products, when it comes to energy. And they're going to keep pushing this. And it is going to have a major effect on agriculture. There's a war on farmers. It's going to have a major effect on the ability of people to survive. And in America, yeah, we'll probably be okay. We can spend a little bit more money on cooling our homes. We can spend a little bit more money at the grocery store, and we're not going to starve. But if you're living on $2 a day and three-fourths of your household budget is going to buy rice and beans for your family, a doubling of food prices or even a 25% increase in food prices might send some of the people in these countries into starvation mode. So these are very, very serious issues, and they're always looking for ways to restrict energy. That's not a new thing. The Rockefellers were big on trying to restrict energy, whether it's the climate hoax, whether it's a new war, doesn't really matter as far as the globalists are concerned. It just makes sure there is massive scarcity so that people will turn to government and ultimately the UN for solutions.
I don't know how many people realize that the U.S. strategic oil reserves are at the lowest they've ever been. I think they started in maybe 1983 or something like that, around about then, with this strategic reserves kind of thing. And so if you start right back then, they're saying now that they're the lowest they've been since 1983. Well, that's because that's only when they started, was 1983. So they're almost at tank bottoms in some places. So that's kind of pretty significant. You can see why they're trying to get this whole Middle East situation sorted out, because otherwise you start running out of oil.
Yep. And I think we're a lot closer to that than people realize. I think there's been some manipulation of prices, but people need to understand too, you need a certain minimum amount in the system or the infrastructure stops. I mean, you got to keep the pipelines flowing. If you don't have enough oil in the system to keep the pipelines flowing, it will become very rapidly a serious issue. So people need to be paying attention to this. People need to be watching. It's very, very significant. And as usual, they will take the crisis that they created, I believe on purpose, and they will use it as a pretext to do whatever they want. Take more of your freedom, restructure your economy, starve people, and then say, oh, now I guess we need to further empower government to deal with these real and imagined crises.
Yeah, and centralizing, you know, the government into the world body, the UN and so on. Right. Yeah, with a unified agenda. And that's the same with health, obviously. And so, you know, there's various things now with Ebola scares and different things like that. So it all comes down to we need one body to control all of this. And, of course, that body is the UN and its various offshoots.
That's exactly right. Yep. And people need to be paying attention. And we're watching now the geopolitical turmoil being used to justify regionalizing government. We're seeing it in Europe with the conflict in Ukraine and Russia. And I think we're going to see that as a result of the coming energy issues and the food issues that we're going to see coming up in the next few months and going into the fall.
Well, with energy issues, like the data centers, I mean, they're building masses of them, numbers of them and massive sizes of them, and they're going to consume massive amounts of energy. So, you know, where's that all coming from? Okay, so they're talking about maybe nuclear plants running a lot of these things and so on, but that won't be everywhere. And the water, the amount of water they consume as well. So to me, all of that, for the average person on the ground, it's going to make it much more difficult because these big conglomerates are going to be consuming the energy and the water.
Yeah. And the justifications for doing this are really pathetically phony, right? The idea that we just need ChatGPT to make faster cat videos for us is absolutely preposterous. That's not why they're covering your whole country with data centers. They're covering your whole country with data centers because they want all of your data so that they can surveil you, so that they can monitor you, and ultimately so they can manipulate and control you. And so they keep throwing out these fake justifications. Oh, communist China is going to win the AI race if we don't cover your entire rural countryside with these hyperscale AI centers, data centers. And that's an absolute fraud. It's a lie. They're arguing now that those of us who oppose all of this radical expansion of AI are somehow being paid by communist China. It's utterly ridiculous, but it's typical of what we see. You know, the communist Chinese are not going to pull in front of us on AI. And if they do, it's only because the evildoers want that to happen. They're the ones selling them our technology. I mean, the U.S. government has been facilitating the training of hundreds of thousands of communist Chinese scientists and engineers. They just authorized the sale of some of NVIDIA's most advanced microchips and processors. If they were serious about stopping China from winning the AI race, they would be behaving very differently than they are. So this is not about communist China or military dominance. These AI centers, these AI data centers are the infrastructure necessary to build this digital control grid that brings in your digital ID, your digital payments, your digital currency, and ultimately your social credit score for total ubiquitous control.
Yes. It's also very interesting that the public doesn't really get a say. Like, or even at a state level over there in America. Basically, the legislation is that the states can't rule out these things. And if there's any public consultations about the data centers, they're a total sham, because it's like they've already pre-decided these big data centers are going to get built and this infrastructure is being put into place, and they might give a token gesture to the public consultations, but that's all they are. They're not a real ability to push back against the data centers.
That's right. And you know, we saw that Donald Trump sign an executive order purporting to preempt any regulation at the state level of AI, which is utterly ridiculous. We have a constitutional system of government here. The federal government has a few and defined powers. By the way, those belong to Congress for the most part. Article 1, Section 8 lists the powers that Congress has. That's basically the powers and authorities that the U.S. government has. The president's allowed to execute. He's charged with executing and enforcing the laws, not writing the laws. And even if it were Congress that passed this alleged ban on state-level regulation of AI, that would not be legitimate. It's certainly not legitimate when the president takes his pen and tries to do that. But they've been putting a lot of pressure on. I was actually working with some lawmakers in Missouri who tried to pass what I thought was a very reasonable bill to protect children and protect our data from these AI systems, make sure that there was always a human accountable, things like this. And the White House actually leaned on the state government and said they were going to stop their transportation funds, which, you know, that's a whole nother thing. The federal government is not supposed to be funding state transportation initiatives. That's the job of the state government. But, you know, that's how they're doing it. It's very, very dangerous to see this. And I think there's a reason why. Again, it has nothing to do with making ChatGPT help you make cat videos faster. This is much more sinister than that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all about control. And with the robots and things they want to build, and Elon Musk and all of that too, then with AI and all of that, that they're going to need all these data centers for all of that. And the digital money and so on. So yeah, it's just we're not being told the truth, obviously, because people would be outraged if they knew what the truth was. So you also mentioned off air, I suppose, as we're moving along, about homeschooling and something that happened with some people being arrested. So can you tell us about that?
Yes, that was one of my latest articles. We had a homeschool family in Brazil, which I lived years in Brazil. Still a big fan of Brazil, despite the Marxist totalitarian regime that currently rules it. But this Christian homeschool family, minding their own business, educating their two daughters at home. Their daughters spoke multiple languages. They're masters at the piano. They're reading advanced literature. Even the independent psychologist hired by the state to check out these girls found that there was absolutely no neglect, that the girls were doing very, very well. But the court ruled in this case that the parents were guilty of what it called intellectual neglect, not because there was anything wrong with the education the parents were providing, but because the girls were not getting their mandatory doses of gender propaganda and tolerance propaganda. And they actually said this in the ruling. The state has a mandatory tolerance, diversity, sexual diversity, sexuality course, and the parents were declining to participate in that. And so even the prosecutor, by the time this was all over, said, we got to drop this case. You know, the family's doing fine. And the judge imposed a 50-day prison sentence on the mother and the father for homeschooling their children and not providing these state-mandated brainwashing courses. So all of that is relevant to people all over the world, but because it comes in the context of a global war on home education. In October of last year, UNESCO, that's the UN Education Agency, put out an incredible report called Homeschooling Through a Human Rights Lens, literally prepared under the supervision of a North Korean communist who just so happens to serve as the education policy chief at UNESCO. And what they said in this report is that governments, if they are going to allow homeschooling at all, must take control of home education. They must do mandatory registration like sex offenders. They must do mandatory testing to make sure parents are teaching children what the state wants taught. They need to enforce curriculum. They need to do mandatory home visits to check on the families. They need to control the content and the curricula. They need to control the values that are being taught. So this is coming from the UN level. It's being imposed on countries and governments and states and localities around the world. And they're very, very clear about this. Every child must get the same kind of UN-approved indoctrination. And so we're seeing similar attacks in the United States. Now, it's not going to be as dramatic as what we just saw in Brazil, but they're moving in that direction. The state of Connecticut just a few weeks ago passed a new law requiring parents to ask permission from child welfare services if they want to educate their children at home. You literally have to go to the bureaucracy that takes children from parents if you want to get permission to educate your children at home. And you're also required to teach courses that are aligned with what the government wants taught. So these are very, very dangerous developments. Illinois introduced a similar piece of legislation. Minnesota has introduced some draconian legislation on homeschooling. As we've seen, more and more European countries are now moving to ban homeschooling. European governments, Sweden, of course, has brutally been breaking up families for well over a decade now. The Germans have been doing it since Adolf Hitler. They're continuing to do that. The French recently banned homeschooling. And this is a trend that we're seeing around the world where the UN and the forces of tyranny and really the forces that are at odds with Christianity, that are deliberately and consciously using the education system to turn children away from Christ, to turn children away from their parents, to turn children away from the Word of God, they have determined that homeschooling and private education, Christian education, is an existential threat to that because it gives parents and churches kind of an emergency escape hatch to get out of this. And so they are now moving at full speed to try to bring all that under control. We've even seen it down under. There was an Australian minister who was talking about the alleged desirability of draconian regulation for home education. So this is going to hit everywhere in the years to come. And I urge everybody, even if you're not homeschooling your children right now, to pay attention. What the state is saying here is that the state will decide how your children are educated, not you as the parent. If you consult the scriptures, parents are clearly made responsible for the education, the discipleship, and the upbringing of their children. That is not a responsibility of the government. The government's job is to punish evil, not brainwash children with gender theory and critical race theory and antichrist, demonic, literally teachings that are coming through from spirit friends of the people organizing this. We've got all the receipts that this is what's going on. In fact, the whole system, I don't remember if you and I have talked about this, Tony, but I just exposed this earlier this year in a book with my friend Robert Borton's. He's the CEO of Classical Conversations. It's the biggest homeschooling program in the world. Our book is called Woke and Weaponized. And we start the first chapter with the first guy to seriously propose that the government ought to be educating people's children. And he admitted before he died that he was getting his ideas from his communications with spirits, that he was talking to them through Ouija boards. And so truly incredible story. But they want to make sure that no parent has the ability to opt out of this, that all children everywhere are receiving this kind of diabolical indoctrination.
Well, that's like a hallmark of what it was like in the communist regimes of the past, the Soviet Union and all that, where the state controlled everything and your education, and you weren't allowed to believe or practice certain things. And really that is exactly what is happening here, and it doesn't matter whether you're in a socialist-type country or one that's not socialist, the move is still the same.
That's right. Yep. And if the UN gets its way here, they literally claim that under existing international agreements and mechanisms, and they point out a whole bunch in this report, the Convention on the Rights of the Child, the UN Declaration of Human Rights, the UN Declaration of Human Rights. I mean, the foundational UN human rights instrument declares in Article 26 that all children have a quote unquote right to a compulsory education, and that this education must advance the activities and programs of the United Nations. So if you're a parent and you're not advancing the system of the UN in your homeschooling, you're by definition violating the human rights of your children. So this is a very dangerous development. They've even got the World Core curriculum that they want every child in every school in every country to learn from. This was written by a guy called Robert Mueller, who admits in the foreword of the teacher's manual that it is based on information he got from Alice Bailey. She was the founder of the Lucifer Publishing Company, and of course, she was communicating with her spirit masters, including Jeval Kuhl. So very, very clear what's happening to anybody with eyes to see and ears to hear. The question is, parents, what are you going to do about it?
Well, yeah, just the Alice Bailey thing you mentioned, and of course, they have always been, that Lucifer Publishing Company, which is now the Lucius Trust, have always been central in the United Nations all the way, and that is Luciferianism. And she was the mother of the New Age movement, And so the UN is based so much on that, and you know, even the meditation room and all that type of thing. So is it any wonder that they're going down this route or route, you know, to push these type of agendas when they've really been in there in the UN sort of psyche since the UN first started? So yep. It's just a continuation of that, only they seem to have more teeth now.
Yeah, and they're getting more teeth very rapidly. I mean, 2024, I was at UN headquarters, and they adopted the Pact for the Future, which what they described it as was reforming the UN, so it would go from UN 1.0 to UN 2.0, and the UN 2.0, they said, wasn't just going to deal with international peace and security issues. Now it was going to deal with the economy and the environment and the education and the internet and AI and you know, speech controls. Governments must fight misinformation. All must bow to the authority of the International Court of Justice. Where they're trying to prosecute the Prime Minister of the State of Israel for genocide, even though the Israelis, of course, have never joined the Rome Statute that authorized this whole ridiculous system. So we're moving very rapidly toward a global system of government. It is absolutely Luciferian. And I mean, that's something that surprises even a lot of Christians, because they haven't been reading their Bibles, I suspect. But when you read Alice Bailey, for example, it's very clear that there's a reason why they call it the Lucifer Publishing Company. They believe Lucifer is the good guy. They believe Jehovah, God, Adonai, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is the bad guy, and that he had Adam and Eve imprisoned in this oppressive garden, depriving them of the knowledge of good and evil and whatnot. And then Lucifer, the light bringer, the snake, showed up and offered us this alleged wonderful wisdom. So they've got the story exactly backwards, and so they think they're doing a good thing by coming after Christians. They think they're doing a good thing by indoctrinating your children to believe all this foolishness. So very, very dangerous, and moms, dads, you need to be paying attention to this. You need to find a way to properly disciple your children legally, if at all possible. But this is one of those issues where, you know, Acts 5:29, it's better to obey God rather than men. If the state is going to require me to hand over my children to be indoctrinated with diabolical garbage, that's not an option. You know, it's a Daniel 3 situation. Like, we are not bowing down to your golden idol. You can throw us in the fiery furnace. God can protect us from your fiery furnace. He will protect us from your fiery furnace. But even if he doesn't, we're not giving you our children to be indoctrinated with this kind of horrific satanic propaganda. It's just not going to happen.
So if people are watching this or listening to this and don't really get it, what we're saying and what Alex is saying too is that the UN was founded on these type of principles, Alice Bailey, New Age, Luciferianism. So since that's there in the foundation, you've got to be suspicious of everything that the UN does. The whole reasons for everything are tainted. And so it's time people wake up and look at the whole picture and don't just kind of go along with the tide and really go, okay, so what's really going on here and what can we do about it as individuals in our own lives and in our own situations?
Absolutely, Tony. And as far as I'm concerned, everything that the UN touches needs to be regarded with suspicion. It has always been a wicked institution. If you look actually at the founding meeting when they met in San Francisco after World War II, one of the ringleaders of this whole process, Alger Hiss, who they made the first Secretary General of the UN, he was also the chairman of the conference that wrote the UN Charter. By the way, this guy was a known agent of Joseph Stalin. We ended up throwing him in prison because he was a spy for Joseph Stalin. He took all these delegates from around the world to the Bohemian Grove, this like weird secret society cult compound where a bunch of presidents and prime ministers and kings and CEOs get together and do weird rituals in the forest. I mean, you can watch the rituals they do. Alex Jones broke in there with a camera and filmed 30 minutes of this disgusting cremation of care ritual where they say they're burning an effigy of a child. So these are not like well-intentioned people who were pursuing peace. Just like Satan disguised himself as an angel of light, these evildoers disguise themselves as peace bringers and whatever. But they are absolutely at war with God. They are absolutely at war with the church. They are absolutely at war with the truth. And they're at war with everything that God has ordained. And so if you hear the UN saying something nice, recognize that they're serving their father, the devil. He's the father of lies. So yes, they will lie to you to try to make all of this palatable. But and this isn't to say that everybody working in the UN is wicked. I've got a lot of sources in the UN who are aware of this, who feed me good information. They realize how evil this agenda is. They want to get their pension, you know, so, you know, I'm not going to hold them accountable for that. I'm not going to blame them for that. But the system itself was designed for evil purposes. And if you read prophecy in the scriptures, you'll see very clearly, I think, where all of this is going, who is behind it. And you know, we need to be paying attention to that. We need to be following our instructions from the Lord. He told us to resist the devil, reprove the unfruitful works of darkness, expose them. He told us to disciple our children in the fear, discipline, nurture, and admonition of the Lord. So if we take God's commands and instructions seriously, and 1 John tells us that if we love him, we will obey him. You know, we should have nothing to do with this. And we certainly shouldn't be falling for their propaganda narratives, whether it's global warming or misinformation or you know, the alleged necessity of a global education system. These are all wicked agendas that should be resisted and opposed and denounced by Christians everywhere.
Absolutely. So one other thing, just quickly, I know our time's run on, but I presume that you know about or have heard about that meeting in Ireland where it was hacked, Peter Thiel's retreat, and where they've got all sorts of people that didn't, that are government, you know, employees and senators and like Ted Cruz, for example, and others and religious people, and none of them use their government emails. They use private emails to sign up for this Peter Thiel run retreat in August in Ireland to talk about how to run the world, basically. And that just is another arm of this, with the people, these tech billionaires like that, controlling everything.
Jeffrey Epstein was there in 2014, so that'll tell you the kind of people who show up at these things, right? But no, this is a very significant development. I mean, Peter Thiel is an extremely strange individual. He's an active practicing homosexual who, according to the mainstream media, injects baby blood, children's blood into himself. He believes it's going to make, you can read the mainstream media reports about this. It's weird, people. So he's like injecting children's blood into himself, thinking it's going to make him younger. He's running around now talking about the Antichrist, but apparently the Antichrist is like the UN or governments trying to regulate his AI. Like that's the Antichrist. He was asked recently by a New York Times reporter about whether humanity should continue. He's like, you know, it really struggled with it. It's a tough question. Do we want humanity to continue? So that's the kind of guy we're dealing with. And he's now trying to market himself to conservatives. He, of course, was a major financier of J.D. Vance's political career. He's now building bridges with a lot of so-called leaders of the so-called conservative movement. And like you pointed out, a lot of people that Americans and people around the world wouldn't expect to go to a meeting like this, like Senator Ted Cruz, like Pastor Rick Warren, from Saddleback Church out in California. I mean, these are the kinds of people going to this. Rick Warren's also a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. He's been deeply involved in some of these interfaith schemes to bring all the religions of the world together. So there's a lot here that people need to be paying attention to. And we are called on to not be deceived. The Apostle Paul says we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. And it's just, for me, it's alarming to look around and see how many Christians are actually really ignorant of Satan's devices. We need to be paying attention to this stuff.
Well, people like Rick Warren, you know, they got famous from writing books, which have influenced a whole generation. So is it, you know, if somebody's a wolf in sheep's clothing, it kind of fits the picture.
And Jesus warned us that we were going to have these kinds coming into our churches as wolves in sheep's clothing. And we've got a lot of them. You know, and that's not to throw everybody under the bus who maybe has a slightly different theological interpretation of some, you know, secondary or tertiary doctrine. But when we have people going to meetings like this, consorting with people who are so obviously engaged in wickedness, so obviously acting contrary to God's design and God's purposes, we need to be asking some real questions. We need to be talking about this. And, you know, it's good to give people a chance to repent and explain themselves. But I think we really need to start calling out some of these alleged leaders who are leading so many people down a very troubling path.
And then you look at Elon Musk, and I've been drumming it into people for a while now that his grandfather, Joshua Haldeman, was the guy that founded, or one of the founders of, the whole technocracy movement. And his grandson, Elon Musk, is now supposedly the richest man in the world, wielding so much power with all things to do with this whole digital world. And then people need to really realize it. Everyone's jumping on with all of this technology too. That's the scary part. So it's so convenient to have Starlink or to buy a Tesla or something, but then you realize you're just helping fund this guy's empire, and it's a very dubious kind of a thing that's going on here with people like Musk and Thiel or Thiel or however you, I think he says, calls himself Thiel, but anyway.
He was one of the attendees, by the way. Elon Musk was also on the list of people going to dialogue Peter Thiel's little weird secret group. So.
Yes, exactly. So, yeah, and they founded, both founded PayPal, I think, together and PayPal things like that.
Right.
Yep. So I know I don't want to keep you for any much longer, but if you've got any more thoughts on that, it's probably worth sharing them before we close off.
Yeah, I would encourage people to pay attention to this stuff. You know, we do have people operating in secret for nefarious purposes. We've started calling it the deep state here in America. My newest book is actually Deep State 2.0. It's just a revised of my original deep state. We switched out about half of it. We've gotten now a lot on transhumanism, which is a critical agenda of the Epstein class, this kind of deep state elite, obviously Peter Thiel and all the rest of them. And we need to, I think, as Christians, be aware of this. We need to be in prayer. We need to be consulting the Word of God. What does God say about these kinds of things? And really be diligent and discerning in terms of making good decisions here, because I think a time is rapidly approaching where we're going to have to make some decisions that are going to be uncomfortable. They're going to make it more difficult to live if you won't participate in this. I can tell you, as somebody who refused to use a smartphone for 20 years after they were invented, life got increasingly difficult. And I think it's going to accelerate in the years ahead. So we all ought to be in prayer. We all ought to be trying to share the love of Christ and the good news with this lost and dying world. And it looks like time may be short. So now would be a good time to get involved if you aren't.
And so where do people find you online, Alex?
Well, thank you, Tony. My personal website is libertysentinel.org. Sentinel, Americans have trouble with that word for some reason. It's S-E-N-T-I-N-E-L, libertysentinel.org. You can get our free newsletter, and then you can find our books there, all that. I'm also senior editor at thenewamerican.com. People can find us at thenewamerican.com. And even if you live in New Zealand and can't subscribe to the print magazine, we'll still send you the free daily headlines every day by email.
Okay, well, that sounds good. Well, we've covered a few things. I guess they're all pretty much related. But so thank you very much for being with me again today, Alex. It's been a very good discussion, I think.
It's an honor and a pleasure. Thank you very much, Tony.
Cheers. Thanks, Alex. Folks, could you please like and share this video? It's kind of important to us to get our words out there, as we're kind of shadow banned. So it really does help if you help us that way. And make sure you subscribe to A Minute to Midnight on our various channels, and also our website, aminutetomidnight.com. And we do run A Minute to Midnight 100% by donations. I really thank the people that do donate to us. It's a fairly small group of people that do, but it's always much appreciated. And if anyone else is able to help through donating, that would be greatly appreciated as well. And you can do that at our website, aminutetomidnight.com. So God bless, and God willing, we will be back with another episode in a few days' time.